Greetings, greetings again, my dear beautiful sisters and brothers of the human family, my dear sisters and brothers of the Uhuru family. This is Deacon Christopher Frazier. I am your minister of information. This is thinkaboutit.org, the Mind of God program. Today's recording date is Sunday, January the 22nd, 2012. And we are yet in the book of Revelation, and we're talking about how Jesus is given prophecy. Jesus is looking at the poor, the afflicted, the needy, and the oppressed. Jesus is saying that you and we and us, we who are last, shall be first. Revelation chapter 2, verse 19, Jesus says, I know that the last are more than the first. Jesus in the gospel said the first shall be last and the last shall be first, because the oppressed are now being raised into rulership. The oppressed, those locked out of the system, are being raised into rulership, and the wicked ruling class and families are being moved out of rulership. This is the day and time of the kingdom of God in heaven. Right here, right now, on this earth, this is the day and time that the Rothschilds and the Oppenheimers shall be moved out of power. This is the day and time that the poor, the afflicted, the needy, and the oppressed all over the earth are coming together. Black, brown, red, yellow, and poor white. Whether you're in Africa, in the Middle East, in Asia, in Central and South America, in Mexico, in the Isles of the Pacific, in the Caribbean, in Central and South America, the ghettos and barrios of Australia, New Zealand, North America, Canada, Europe, in Israel, we all going to have to come together, the oppressed, and move our minds and consciousness from that of the ruling class and families, and begin to think with the mind of Yahshua. Begin to think with the mind of Yahuwah. Begin to think with the mind of Muhammad. Begin to think with the mind of Mahdi, the mind of Quetzalcoatl, the mind of the prophets. The first are being moved out of position, and the last are being moved into positions of rulership. The young people are rising up to take leadership and take rulership. They just need guidance. They need to listen to sisters and brothers like Tanetta Muhammad, Ava Muhammad, Francis Cress Welsing, Asada Shakur, Ava Muhammad, Tanetta Muhammad, brothers like Dick Gregory, Louis Farrakhan, Omala Yeshitela, Jeremiah Wright, so on and so forth. This is the day and time, as Jesus said, and the last to be more than the first. Now, Roman society, the Roman Empire, the Roman elites, they were the first. How did they become the first? How did they come into first place? How did they come into these positions of rulership? It was through slavery. It was through exploitation. It was through colonialism. It was through warfare and bloodshed. Today, it's the same with the Rothschilds and the Oppenheimers. They are the Jew who say they are Jews, but they are not the Jew. They are of the synagogue of Satan. Revelation 2 and 9 and 3 and 9. These are they who have raised up the presidents and the prime ministers all over the earth. The presidents and prime ministers are nothing but hypocritical actors on a stage that is not theirs, giving you and me an interpretation of a script that was given to them as actors on a stage they did not create, and giving us a proper a type of interpretation that will cause us to follow behind them as puppets, following the dictates of the puppeteers, Rothschilds and Oppenheimers, the modern day Rome and the modern day Caesar, so that we all may go along and fight and kill and destroy the human family for land, wealth, and resources. No, that day is done. That day is over. That is how they got into power. And so Thyatira brought down affliction because they, in that day, 2,000 years ago, fought Rome, fought Caesar, fought the Roman elites, fought the high priests, fought those that were raised up to facilitate their death and destruction, the death and the destruction of the poor, the afflicted, the needy, and the oppressed. And so Thyatira, through charity and through works, they began to work with the poor, work with the poor class, work with the oppressed class. And they, in reality, were greater than Rome, greater than Caesar, because they dared to fight Rome and fight Caesar and provide for the poor, the afflicted, the needy, and the oppressed. And so this is that same day that we must do the same. And this is the day of the kingdom of God in heaven, right here, right now, on this earth. This is the day that the poor, the afflicted, the needy, the oppressed will come into power, and poverty and impoverishment and warfare and bloodshed will cease. And this is the time that the elites, the Rothschilds, the Oppenheimers, the Illuminati, Masonic Order, these presidents and prime ministers who follow after such wicked rulership, their time is over and done. This is the time that they go out of power. This is the time that you and me, we the poor, the afflicted, the needy, and the oppressed will come into power. This is called the kingdom of God in heaven here and now on this earth. In Islam, it's called the kingdom of Islam. It's the same exact reality. This is the day of Mayat, truth, justice, and righteousness. And so, Dr. King understood all of these realities. Malcolm X understood all of these realities. The Black Panther Party understood all of these realities. All of those beautiful black women who rose up to take back their black womanhood and take back their humanity, who refused to ride the buses in Montgomery. I'm still reading this book by Danielle McGuire, I believe her name is. Her name is in my summary page. The book is At the Dark End of the Street, where she chronicles all the rapes and the sufferings that black women went through, and chronicles the activism of Rosa Parks from the 30s, from the Scottsboro case, all the way through the Montgomery Improvement Association. And these sisters and those brothers that were with them, E.D. Nixon, Dr. King, Ralph Abernathy, and others, these understood that the last shall be first. And these understood that the least are more than those that are so-called great in power and killing people, that the poor people are greater than those in power. They understood these realities. They had to understand something of that reality to see enough value within themselves to stand up against wicked brutality being suffered in Atlanta, Georgia, in Alabama, Montgomery, in the various places in the South where we suffered all manner of indignities and rapes and lynchings and whatnot. If we didn't see ourselves as being at least equal to anyone in power, Jesus said you're more than. But we saw that we were at least equal to, and that we did not have to go through life in this manner and suffer such sufferation. So we, today, I say, you and me, we are more than the 1%. Occupy movement, occupy sisters and brothers. You are more than the ruling class and families. You're more than the 1%, 2%, 5%, 10%. But how are we more? How can we gain such honor? How can we gain such rulership? How can we acquire such position? It is through knowledge. It is through wisdom. It is through understanding. It is through the word of God, which is sharper than any two-edged sword. It is through Yahshua Mashiach, in the Greek, Jesus Christus, in the African Hebrew, Yahshua Mashiach, Jesus, is deliverance, liberty. The people need to be delivered. The people need liberty. And liberty is freedom, justice, and equality. The people need the return of the land, the wealth, and the resources and the health back to the oppressed. This is how we acquire such position and such knowledge and such honor, such position, such honor, such rulership. It is through Yahshua. It is through coming together and delivering ourselves. It is through coming together and administering the reality of liberation through liberation gospel, liberation theology, liberation philosophy, liberation ideology. It is through the understanding that vengeance is the right of the Most High on the wicked ruling class and ruling families. Research the definition of Yahshua. Research the word salvation in the Hebrew language And the word salvation is the word Yahushua. And then research the words above and below Yahushua, Yahshua, Yesha, and so on. And see prosperity. We need to be prosperous in all walks of life, spiritually, mentally, morally, and physically. We need to be prosperous. We need to be in power. We need to overturn the rulership of the ruling class and families. And when we gain such power, we will not be like the wicked ones. We will rule in truth, justice, and righteousness, and the Most High is the number one ruler. Christ, Christos, Messiah. We're talking about how are we going to get into positions of honor? How are we going to acquire such positions of rulership? Through Messiah, through Christos, through Christ. What is that? The spirit and mind and mentality and anointing and power to rise up and deliver the poor, the afflicted, the needy, and the oppressed from and out of the hands of the wicked ruling class and ruling families. That is how we get into that position and that power. Let me quickly read the commentary from the Living Bible Translation and see what they have to say, and we're going to talk about it from Revelation. The believers in Thyatira were commended for growing in good deeds. We should not feel satisfied when we have done one good work, but continue to do more good works. These are the last days, and there is no time to rest on our laurels. So, we who are doing good work, whether we are in religious organizations, political or revolutionary organizations, we're doing charitable work, we're doing good works, we have patience, we have faith, we're moving on, but don't be satisfied until we realize the fullness of our work. Dr. King, the night before he was assassinated, said, stay together, continue to work together. Don't be separated, don't be divided. You think he was just talking to black Christians? He was talking to all of the oppressed. No matter we religion, no matter we culture, no matter we ethnicity, no matter we race, no matter where we're born, he was talking about all of the oppressed. He said, don't stop. He was talking like Jesus was talking, who was trying to get us not to be satisfied with the works we're doing. Don't be just satisfied with the patience that we are exhibiting. Don't be satisfied with the faith that we are exhibiting. Realize the fullness of the work is the promised land. What does that mean, Dr. King? You've been to the mountaintop, you've seen the promised land. You may not get there with us, but we as a people will get to the promised land. What does that mean? It means the kingdom of God in heaven. It means that the rulership of the Rothschilds and the Oppenheimers is over. It means that the poor, the afflicted, the needy, and the oppressed will no longer remain in that condition. Those who are last will be raised to the top. Elijah Muhammad will always say, those on the bottom rail will be raised to the top rail. And those who are considered foolish, those who are considered nothing, these are they who the Most High will raise up into positions of power. This is that day. And so we must continue on until we realize the fullness of Mayat, truth, justice, and righteousness, freedom, justice, and equality. Oh, this man Jesus, when you understand him. But now Jesus turns a corner. Now he gave us some wonderful credit, some wonderful love, some wonderful stroking, but now he's going to have to spank us a little bit. And we're going to have to take the spanking, and then we're going to have to come on up and come on into what Jesus, Yahshua Messiah, is telling us. Jesus says in verse 20, chapter 2, Revelation, notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication, and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. What does that mean? Let's break this down, sisters and brothers. Let's break this down. Jesus, let me say it in a synopsis type of fashion. This woman Jezebel, the false prophetess, represents those puppets, those people in positions of power who come to us and solicit us to participate in this nasty system, to participate in warfare and bloodshed, and dropping bombs on people and destroying people for what? So we can go to the supermarket, to the gadget store, to the electronics store, and participate in consumerism and materialism. These Jezebels, this is only symbology. This is allegory representing any and all male and female who offer themselves as people who are righteous, who cause us to think that it is right to go to war in Iran, that it is right to go to war in Syria, that it is right to go to war in Libya and kill Muammar Gaddafi and destroy black people in Libya. Those who are in power, President of the United States, Barack Obama, Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton, President in or Prime Minister in Italy at the time, Berlusconi, President or Prime Minister in Israel, Netanyahu, Sarkozy in France, Merkel in Germany, these are the Jezebels. These are they who would cause us to go after idols and idolatrous worship. What is idolatry? It is covetousness. It is to take what's not yours. These are they who want us to join their militaries, join their think tanks, join their organizations and plot to kill and destroy Africans, kill and destroy Middle East people, kill and destroy people in Central and South America, Mexico, kill and destroy Asians, kill and destroy those who live in the ghettos and barrios of Australia, New Zealand, North America, Canada, Europe, and Israel. No. Now let's go into detail and break this down. Now, Thyatira, you did good. Black people, black churches, brown, red, yellow churches and synagogue and mosque and organizations and NGOs and whatnot. You've done good work, but now you sufferest that woman Jezebel. All right, now, this word sufferest. Let me see now. Yeah, let me just start with the word sufferest. 1439. Let me keep up with my time. 1439. E-I-O. It means to allow, to permit. To allow one to do as he wishes, not to restrain, to let alone, to give up, to let go, to leave. So we're going ahead, but we're staying current. Thyatira allowed those to come in to solicit them to join Rome, to solicit them to join Caesar, to join colonialism, slavery, exploitation. There were those in Thyatira who were permitted to teach such wickedness, and we, in this day and time, have permitted ourselves to be swayed by Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton, and those that I named before to seduce us into participation in such a wicked, nasty system of destruction and killing and debaucherism and whatnot. Did you hear about the soldiers who urinated on the dead bodies of those that they illegally killed? I believe it was Afghanistan. I say illegally because this war is illegal. It's against God's law. It's against morality. All this warfare and bloodshed only benefits the Rothschilds and the Oppenheimers, who arm and weaponize and finance all sides so that they can stay in power. Now let me go ahead and take this last break, and I will see you on the other side of the break.
And heavenly wonders that go beyond.
Greetings, greetings again, my dear wonderful sisters and brothers of the human family, my dear wonderful sisters and brothers of the Uhuru family. This is Deacon Christopher Frazier. I am your minister of information. This is thinkaboutit.org, the Mind of God program. Today's recording date is Sunday, January the 22nd, 2012. Now, this woman Jezebel, these presidents and prime ministers, these educational, financial, governmental leaders that come into our lives to solicit us to participate in the destruction of the oppressed, the destruction of ourselves, the destruction of our humanity, who teach us to participate and solicit us to participate in warfare, bloodshed, who, Republican Party, want Caucasian people to cut their own throats in reality, because all of those candidates running for the ticket of the Republican Party, they want to cut all so-called entitlements, cut Medicare, cut Medicaid, cut Social Security, cut education programs, cut everything. Even Ron Paul, though he talks good concerning warfare and the cessation of warfare, bringing the monies home, he wants to cut $1 trillion out the government's budget, wants to take the government out of everything. And you who have studied the civil and human rights movement know that if it was not for the federal government protecting our rights, even as complicit as they were, we have no, misgivings and misunderstandings about the government. But the people forced the government to protect to the extent that the government did protect, because the states were not going to protect our rights. So even Ron Paul wants to obliterate everything. When he says cut a trillion, that means cut government jobs, cut programs for the people. And so even Obama, he put Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, educational programs, Pell grants, the CHIP program for children, programs for poor people to have heating in the winter, and air conditioning in the summer, because they're poor, they don't have the means to acquire such. Obama put those programs on the table, and then along with the Republicans manufactured a budget crisis so that he could justify putting those programs on the table. And rather than say cut like the Republicans want to cut, he still wants to cut. And that's what the Rothschilds want. The Rothschilds are the puppeteers using these Jezebel puppets to cut. That was the script. You make sure you get the people to agree that there needs to be cuts in the programs of the people. Look at Jerry Brown in California. Just gave his state of the state address. And in that state of the state address, he talked a little about cutting the wealthy, a little bit. But he made sure that we knew that he wanted to cut programs for poor people, food stamps, old people's programs and whatnot. And we allow these Jezebels to do that to us. And Jezebel, this woman, is symbolic of a WOMB, the misuse of a womb, to come among us and use our energies against ourselves, to come among us to solicit our energies, solicit our expertise, solicit our attributes and characteristics, to put them into a womb that was set up by the Rothschilds, Oppenheimers, Rome, Caesar, the Roman elites, the ruling class and ruling families. This womb is set up that we may enter into this womb and produce wicked, nasty works, wicked, nasty fruit that is destructive to the human family. This is some heavy, heavy scripture when we understand. So that word woman says, you have sufferest that woman Jezebel too, who calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit fornication and eat things sacrificed unto idols. This is only those who would solicit us to participate in a nasty, wicked, capitalist, privatized, parasitic system that produces nasty, filthy, fruit that is destructive to the human family. So the word woman, 1135, because we have to make this, break this down into detail, because we don't want anyone to think that Jesus is against women. As it was now, so it was then. Most of those in church, I'm sure, were women. Women always at the backbone of the movement. But this is metaphor that Jesus is using. So the word woman is gune or gune in the Greek language, 1135. It's a feminine noun. It means a woman of any age, whether a virgin, married, or a widow, a wife, or a betrothed woman. So this woman represents a womb. And you recall in the Old Testament that Jezebel, I forget her husband's name, was it Ahab? They were king and queen of Israel, and the prophet Elijah was fighting them. And Ahab and Jezebel were stealing land, wealth, and resources, stealing and thieving from those who had nothing, taking people's land. They propositioned this one fella to take his land. The man refused, and I believe Jezebel had the man killed. So Elijah was fighting these two wicked people who were nothing but wicked despots, who were following after the mentality of the wicked Hyksos, who set up colonialism, slavery, exploitation in that region. And the African Hebrew Israelite kings and queens were to fight that mentality and stand for the oppressed. And because Ahab and Jezebel would not stand for the oppressed, but became in league with the oppressor, Elijah rose up to fight them, to fight their wickedness, and he suffered affliction because of it. So Jezebel is being raised from the Old Testament, presented in the New Testament as symbolic of a womb that we buy into and enter into to produce wickedness that is idolatrous, that is destructive to the human family, because warfare and bloodshed and theft of land, wealth, and resources, and the denying of the people health care and medical assistance and education, that is idolatrous, because these are things that we the people need, and when we block that, that is idolatry. And so Jezebel, this word Jezebel, 2403, we have to explain as we go, because we have limited time, and we want to at least clue us into what this means, although we're not able to get to all of it in detail. Jezebel, 2403, Ezebel, Zabel, feminine noun. Now it means to be chaste. The word means to be chaste, coming through the Greek language. But we know that she, Jezebel, was not chaste, was unchaste, because she killed and destroyed people. She was the wife of Ahab, this is the definition here, an impious and cruel queen who protected idolatry and persecuted the prophets. You see, idolatry is not what we think it is. Idolatry in reality is the denial of land, wealth, resources, and everything that is for the people. When you deny that to a person, that is idolatrous, because you have put your own desires above the needs of your fellow human being, sister and brother. You say, but idolatry is worshiping something in place of God. Worship means to bow down to give allegiance to, right? And so since God is in the people, and when you see the people, you see God, and when you see God, you see the people, and when you help the people, you are in reality doing the will and work of God. And so when you deny the people, you deny God, and when you destroy the people, you're destroying the people of God, and when you deny the people access to that which the Most High provided for the people, that is idolatry, because we have put our own selfish desires above that of the people. And so this woman Jezebel, that's what she did. And so the prophets were rising up to fight this idolatry, to fight this woman and her husband Ahab, who were nothing but despots and killers and destroyers and debaucherers of the poor, the afflicted, the needy, and the oppressed. Her name is further given the meaning these write up here says symbolic name of a woman who pretended to be a prophetess. That's what we're dealing with, and who addicted to antinomianism, claimed Christian liberty of eating things sacrificed to idols. Let me look up this word and see what this word antinomianism means. We're not ashamed to say we don't know the definition of a word, so we're going to look up this definition. Let's see. It means one who holds that under the gospel dispensation of grace, moral law is of no use, or obligation because faith alone is necessary to salvation. Now this is so interesting. Let me read that again. She was a person who believed in antinomianism. Now the word antinomianism means that you believe that under the gospel dispensation of grace, the moral law, the law of morality, is of no use or obligation because faith alone is necessary to salvation. One who rejects a socially established morality. Now let's talk about this from a revolutionary perspective. We go to church, we go to mosque, we go to cathedral, we go to synagogue, and they say you've done your duty. You believe in Jesus, you profess him to be the Christ, you've done your duty. In Islam, you say that there is no God but Allah and Muhammad is his messenger or prophet, you've done your duty. In Hebrew or Jewish synagogue, they say, well, you believe that the Lord is one. Deuteronomy 6 and 4. We've talked about that before, but they say you've done your duty. But the churches, too many of them, synagogues, mosques, temples, cathedrals, look at all these preachers and pastors and imams who support America in her killing of people overseas participating in warfare and bloodshed. They tell us that we've done our duty, but they do not teach us that we must rise up and stand up against wickedness, stand up against warfare and bloodshed, stand up against the Rothschilds, stand up against the Oppenheimers. And that day, that woman Jezebel in the church of Thyatira was trying to tell them, hey, you have faith? You're not obligated to the moral law, to the law of morality. What was the law of morality? Fight Caesar. Fight Rome. Stand up for the oppressed. Deliver the oppressed. Use the word of God, which is sharper than any two-edged sword, to fight on behalf of the oppressed and fight the oppressor and move the oppressor from rulership. So Jezebel was teaching them, you don't have to do that. She's supposed to be chaste, but she was unchaste because she was teaching the Thyatira sisters and brothers to forget all of that revolution stuff and just join the nasty system. And many preachers are like that today. Haggy. Robertson. Billy Graham. Billy Graham said, we got to fight against godless communism. As if every communist was an atheist, and as if every person who so-called believes in democracy was a theist. But he wanted us to join in the fight against communism because America and Europe and Israel were fighting against those who were rising up as revolutionaries to take back their land, their wealth, and their resources. And Dr. King understood this reality and told us we must join the worldwide revolution. Because at that point, we were on the wrong side of the worldwide revolution. So, Billy Graham, John Hagee, Pat Robertson, and others who preach like that are the Jezebels of this day who say that the revolutionary morality, that the prevailing morality of God and the land and the earth and the universe is of no use to you. You have faith. You went to church. You did it all. But we are saying no to Jezebel. No to the wicked ruling class and ruling families. No to the CIA. No to the FBI. No to Pat Robertson. No to John Hagee. No to Billy Graham. No to any preacher, any imam, any rabbi, any teacher, any leader who would tell us not to struggle to overthrow the power of the wicked ruling class and ruling families. She passed herself off as a prophetess. And that word prophetess is 4398 on the Greek side of your Strong's Hebrew Greek dictionary. Let me hit it right quick. Prophetess. Come on now. 4398. Prophetes. Prophetes. It means prophetess, a woman to whom future events or things hidden from others are at times revealed, either by inspiration or by dreams and visions. A female who declares oracles. So, Jesus says, this woman Jezebel, she calleth herself a prophetess. And so, let us say this quickly because my time is running out. These presidents and prime ministers come before us and present themselves as being righteous and tell us what America is going to do. Tell us that the days of America are yet great. Listen to the Republican candidates. Listen to Barack Obama. America's days are yet ahead of her. Great. That's like prophesying. But we know that America, as she is, cannot survive and will not survive. Dick Gregory said it last night at Modesto Junior College that she will have to pay for all the hell and destruction that she has wrought all over this earth. The wicked powers will have to go out of rulership. Their days are ended. Their days are over. America will have to die as a wicked power in this world in order that she may be resurrected and live again as a sister nation among sister nations, together as a righteous nation among other righteous nations, with righteous people living with all the righteous people all over the earth, and no more bloodshed, no more hell, no more death, no more destruction. Death is done. Hell is done. No more victory for death and hell. It's the kingdom of God in heaven right here, right now, on this earth. We're going to go ahead and cut off. Jah love and Jah bless. This is the Exodus, the movement of Jah people. Okay.